welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week in New Zealand. It's 10 a.m. right now, and that's the time we normally go live. But on September the 30th, it will be pushed back to like 11 a.m., and then on November the 4th, it will be pushed back to midday through 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the summer schedule. For those of you listening in the little old Fukushima radiation remitted New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. You know, it's pretty beautiful down here, and we have a beautiful Freemason Prime Minister who incidentally is the ruler of a country that was founded and totally controlled by Freemasons. In fact, the top three political jobs in this country are occupied by 32nd, 32nd, and 33rd degree Freemasons. So that's quite funny, isn't it? But there's no conspiracy, and there's no collusion. There's no skullduggery or scumbaggery or any other form of baggery. And my very special guests are Stephen Roberts and Todd Foster from Cancel the Cabal. And they are simulcasting right now on their little website. So, guys, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
So, can I ask, how did Cancel the Cabal start?
Well, that's an interesting story. But first, I would like to extend my wishes to the people over there in Fukushima land, Japan. I hope their ears haven't fallen off and they are able to listen to us, hopefully quite well. But anyways, Cancel the Cabal, I was just skimming on Facebook one day back in middle of January. I know it's only been like 8.5 months that I've been on air, but I come across a link. One of my friends passed on his wall that came onto my wall, and it was of a man named Harry Link, and he had this kind of like internet TV show. And what I did was I clicked on it and I started listening, watching, because he has a video-based show just like yours and this one here. And about 30-some-odd minutes through his show there, he happened to mention that he was looking for broadcasters, and that perked my ear right up because I have a degree in journalism, and I wanted to start doing some things on video or radio. So he said, drop him a message on Facebook, and I did, and the rest is pretty much history there. I got hooked up with Harry on Truth Broadcast Network at the end of January, and I think the first week of February, I was on the air.
Mm, nice. Good. And having a degree in journalism, did that actually come in handy, or did you actually have to learn how to be a journalist once you became a radio person?
No, I think that piece of paper just gave me a little bit of courage. Just gave me enough courage to get up on the air, I think. Tell you the truth, Vinny.
You know, the only thing I knew about journalism when I did journalism in sixth form, I think I was like 16 years old in high school, and we had a journalism class, and it said there's a number of questions that journalists need to ask and find the answers for: who, what, when, where, why, and how. And that's basically it. And so what a real journalist does is try and answer those questions. What mainstream media journalists do is make sure that people don't ask those questions and make sure that those questions don't get frickin' answered, which is interesting because they're trained to be journalists. I have not really a single day's training of journalism in my life, no officialdom anyway. And I'm a hell of a lot better journalist than they are.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. Want the truth. That's because, Vinny, you haven't been indoctrinated through the systems school of journalism.
Mm. Yes, and I also want to say too, Vinny, I'll lift this up so your viewers and listeners can see it. Very, very nice microphone you had there. I I caught one of your shows, I don't know, at least 2 or 3 years back. And then when I started to research the, you know, the live stream broadcast thing, I went back and I looked at one of your shows, and then I kind of searched out your microphone, and I said, I've got to have that microphone that Vinny's got.
Yeah, it is quite beautiful. Multi-purpose, and everybody, I want you to know, this is just for the listeners' sake, it's a Yeti Blue microphone. Okay, go to eBay, $150. $150, you can get this microphone, the beautiful pop filter that takes away that sound, and two pairs of headphones, right? And it connects to your computer by USB, so you don't need no cables or nothing. It's got four channels, so you can have like four people in a room, or you can just capture the whole room's audio or whatever. It's remarkably versatile, really handy, it really freaking works, and it's extremely high quality. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I think Steve had a microphone envy there for a while.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, I was also going to go on, Vinny, about what's it been like, about 8 or 9 weeks, Todd? Somebody hooked me up with Todd, and I actually had him on as a guest on his show because he had some pertinent information just a day or two after the George Zimmerman acquittal verdict down in Florida. And I had him on the show, and that very same night, or actually the previous night, we'd had like a 3.5 hour Skype chat, and I asked him to be on the show, but then I asked him to be a co-host right after that. So it was right after the Zimmerman verdict is when we got hooked up and we started to do the show together.
Yeah, that's right. We've been having a great time ever since. Yeah, I had some very revealing information on the Zimmerman case as far as Zimmerman's history and things like that that had not been released in the mainstream. So,
Chaz?
Well, one of the things was that they were using that case for, you know, racial division. They were trying to start a race war, and it was a multifaceted tool of manipulation being used by the mainstream. And one of the things that Zimmerman had done was there had been a death of a black man, a homeless black man, I believe. And long story short, Zimmerman had pushed for an investigation into what happened. And if I remember, the details are a little foggy, so if I get something wrong here, you know, don't hold me to it. But I think it was Zimmerman that had pushed for an investigation into what happened, and it resulted in the firing of a Sanford policeman. It might have even been, I'm not sure who it was specifically, but I know the police chief was involved somehow. And there was other factors as well, like, for example, Zimmerman had friends, you know, that were black, that he would, you know, if they needed something, he had some friends that were black that were having some financial troubles, and they didn't have a place to go. And he actually gave them his keys and, you know, to his place and said, hey, listen, you know, if you need a place to go, you know, come by anytime if you need something, if you don't have anywhere to go. So he also helped to tutor young black children, as well as Latino children and things like that. So the point is, the mainstream media was trying to paint him as some kind of, you know, monster that was racist and just out to kill anybody with dark skin, and that couldn't be further from the truth. If you check into his past, you would see that he was the exact polar opposite of what the mainstream media was trying to paint him as. And so, you know, this rhetoric about, you know, oh, he, you know, murdered Trayvon and all that is it's just ridiculous. And there was a lot of things about Trayvon that was not released either. One of the biggest things about Trayvon that was not allowed in the courtroom was the fact that he had hundreds of texts on his phone talking about different styles of fighting How he had been fighting someone that he wanted to fight again because, in his words, I think he said he didn't bleed enough or something like that, so he wanted to fight him again. And the fact that Trayvon had been using a product or substances similar to a product called Lean, and that can be made you don't have to actually purchase any specific product as far as, you know, a Lean product. You can go to a store and buy a watermelon Arizona drink, I think it was, Skittles and something else. I think it was Robitussin, or I forget exactly what it was, but there's a combination of three products that you can put together and it will give you the same effect as this. I think it's a diet product called Lean, and it gives you a certain type of like high or something to that effect. And when
it gives you an LSD type high.
Yeah, it mimics symptoms of PCP and LSD. So when the coroner did his report on Trayvon Martin's body, they did not release the fact that Trayvon's liver had severe damage to it from using these substances, as well as there was indications as to damage to his brain. So. There was, I believe, some white spots on his liver or something. But there was just a lot of information that they did not release. And it was so clear that they were just trying to use that as a...
The clearest part of it for me was when I saw the picture of George Zimmerman the night that the police came to the incident. He had the hell beaten out of them. And I was like,
right.
Why is that not the first picture that they showed on the news? Why did they never show that picture on the news whatsoever? They just wanted to say, yeah, demonize this guy. He killed a black kid. He's evil. But the black kid beat the hell out of him. Oh, yeah. But we're not going to show anybody that because it makes the black kid look like a criminal that actually deserved to get shot.
Right, exactly. And there's a thing here in Florida called Stand Your Ground. It's a Stand Your Ground law, which states that you may be in a situation to where you have the option to run away from the situation, or you have the option to stay and stand your ground. And that was part of the defense for Zimmerman, was the whole stand your ground law, that, you know, listen, you know, people need to understand it's not about race. It's not about anything related to that. It's about the fact that here we have a kid that was almost an adult, and he was much taller than Zimmerman. He approached Zimmerman and said, you know, I'm going to kick your, you know, ASS and all this, and got on top of him and was, you know, doing what they call a ground and pound, which is an MMA, I believe that's an MMA term, mixed martial arts term. And he had him on the ground straddling him, and he was just pounding Zimmerman in the face, and then he had grabbed his head, and he was pounding the back of his head into the cement. So, you know, I would question anyone that, hey, if you're on the ground and you're having the back of your head slammed into the cement, are you going to be scared for your life, or are you going to go, oh, let me just sit here and take it and see what happens?
Self-defense, you know, I'm an advocate of that because, hey, if you can't defend yourself, you're a victim. You're a slave, yes. Aren't you? There's nothing. Now, moving on from that, you have a look at the media reporting, and it becomes so obvious, and this is what our job is now, as the real media, as the new media, is to just report what they don't. And you'll be surprised just how much of a big job that is. It's like, oh my God, they did a news story for 2 minutes, and I have to do a news story. I have to do like 5 broadcasts for 2 hours of pop covering the information, just the information that they left out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like that with every single major story I've found. There's for every 1% of things that they tell you, there's 99% of the story that they're trying to hide from you, which is why our job is so important to inform the people.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, Vinny, lately. You know, we have a huge responsibility on our shoulders to help the people, you know, to help wake the people up, to help keep them informed. And, you know, it's a part of It's a part of, I think in order to do this job, it has to be something that is just instinctual inside you. You know, I know for me, it's just something that's always been there. For others, it is something that awakened in them and it's there. And it's just a natural drive to do this. It's something that once you start doing it, you can't stop because you realize you have an epiphany as to how important this is. Because if we don't do it, the system is sure not going to do it. Is the video connection okay? Because I keep getting weird blinking lights on my camera.
It's fine.
And stuff. Okay, yeah, it seems like it keeps going in and out. You're right on target there. You're right on target, Vinny. And whenever you're the old saying goes, when you get close to the truth is when you're going to be attacked the most. You know, there's a saying related to that. It says whenever you're directly over the target is when you're going to get the most flack. And that's what happens to people like myself, Steve, and yourself, Vinny, and, you know, everyone else out there that's trying to do this. And it takes a lot of courage, perseverance, integrity, fortitude to do this. Because I've had people, countless people on Facebook and other places email me and say, you know, how do you do this? You know, I'd be afraid to do it. I'd be afraid that I would end up, you know, coming up missing or, you know, something would happen to me. And I'd say, well, yeah, I have to. I just, you know, no one else is going to do it if we don't do it.
Courage, honor, and truth. Those are the, mm-hmm. That's the pledge of a knight. And
right.
That's unfortunate that we now need knights like ourselves because the ones who are knighted by the queen don't take that oath.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got a little interesting story to go along that line.
Well, maybe you can do that after the break because we're coming up now. And the music in 3, 2, there it is. No? Oh wait. Let's hopefully. Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back after the break anyway, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Just bear in mind that this is a listener-supported broadcast, so go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'm not Superman, but laser beams do shoot out of my eyes if I ever see David Rockefeller. And my very special guests are Todd Foster and Stephen Roberts from cancelthecabal.com. Now, I've been having a discussion on Facebook. It's not really a discussion. Like when you're talking with somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, it's not a discussion, is it?
It's more like a teaching.
Yeah, it would be a teaching if they listened.
Yeah, that's true. You have to absorb in order to learn, right?
So what is it? You know, why would you? It's about fluoride, right? So I put up this post and I said, you know, if one more person says that fluoride is safe and effective, I'm gonna burst a blood vessel in my brain places. And he goes, but fluoride is safe and effective. I felt the blood vessel burst. It's just excruciatingly painful, you know, and I started twitching. What is the point in having conversations with people like that? You know, because you can throw them whatever documentaries you want. You can throw them articles. You can throw them scientific papers. You can throw them infinite amounts of evidence. None of it makes a lick of difference.
Right, right.
What is? Have you had conversations like this?
Oh yeah, countless times. Yeah, I mean it's you. I think what it is it's a, you know, you always have this, you know, I think I speak for most of us in this field, you know, myself and Steve and others. You have like this glimmer of hope, you know that, you know, these people are living in cognitive dissonance, they're deep into cultivated ignorance, but there's still this glimmer of hope that they're, you know, going to wake up, that something might trigger something in their mind and help wake them up, you know, and they'll have their own little epiphany. I think it's different. It seems to be different for everyone. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that are now awake that were not as of, you know, a year ago or a couple years ago. And it seems as though each and every one of them has their own unique experience that kind of unlocked their cognitive processing, and they had their you know, epiphany or their aha moment, and then they realized what was going on, and from then on forward, you know, they began to educate themselves and do their own research. And I think once you cross that abyss, there's no going back. I know Steve was telling me about, you know, one of his experiences that he had that got him into this. You want to comment on that, Steve?
Oh yeah, sure. I would like to also expand on what you were saying. Also, I've heard this theory out there that it takes somebody hearing something seven times for it to finally click into their head that maybe they should look into something. And like you said, I was also just going to mention too, people need to have that light bulb moment that goes off into their head and maybe tells them that something they think might be true may not be true. And cognitive dissonance is the big psychological theory out there that explains this. Many people just won't accept the idea that governments are out doing the things that they are. Many people believe that they should be able to trust their governments, and it's just not the case. But what actually woke me up, Vinny, was a combination of two things. I had enrolled into college, and this was in February of 2009. And I was in my second block of classes. One was a communications class, and the other was a IT class. I had originally enrolled into IT, internet technology. I thought I wanted to be, one of these guys that does the cool graphics, or maybe make games or something like that, invent games. And I suddenly and quickly realized that I was in over my head, and I was looking for an out. And I happened to catch a commercial on a real radio station driving in my car one day. I was listening to one of those fake right-wing shows, because I thought I was a fake right-winger, like many millions of Americans do still. And this commercial was it was the Obama deception commercial. Alex Jones had just made his movie, and he had put it out there on YouTube. I went and watched the video, and it kind of blew my paradigm apart a little bit. You know, I realized that maybe both parties were working in concert against the wishes of the American people. And I started listening to Jones, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to think about it. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks of him. He's the one that helped blow my paradigm apart totally. Because I don't know if it was irony or kismet, karma, whatever word you want to call it. But the class I was currently in when I was listening to Jones was my critical thinking class. And they were teaching us all about the logical fallacies. I was in like the third day of this particular class. And I was listening to Jones one day, and he popped up and he said a key word that caught my attention, and that was a straw man attack. I knew what that was because we had just read about the previous day in one of the readings. And he happened to mention some type of a YouTube clip. And I went on YouTube and searched that clip up. And sure as shit, right there, it was right in front of my face. The straw man attack was right there. I hope I can say that. No? Okay.
No, you can't. We've got FCC-regulated radio stations playing the show. But, you know, it happens all the time, and nobody's complained to the FCC yet, because the kind of people who listen to this radio show are decent people, usually people who are over 18 who've got some kind of level of maturity, and usually the kind of people who don't narc on you to the government.
Okay. Well, sorry for that, everyone.
But I could be wrong. You never
know. It's a bunch of dog duty is what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just say Shiite Muslim.
Shiite Muslim. Exactly. Okay. Holy Shiite Muslim.
Yeah. It fits, doesn't it?
It sure does. I like that.
It's like the Syria situation. You know, they want regime change, and it's like, what are they going to do? Blow the Shiite out of them?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I think they're looking forward to doing that. And that on a serious note, the whole Syria thing. There's some real interesting information there that
on a serious note.
A lot of people have no clue about. One of the biggest things that most people do not know is that Syria served as a black ops site. They served as a black ops site up until recently, and a lot of the activity that's going on over there is due to the fact that they want to make money off of a supply of natural gas that they found under the Mediterranean Sea. We recently had on a guest that talked about that. She had posted an article about that, Suzanne Posel, and she was talking about how they found this gas, I think she said 5,000 feet underneath the Mediterranean seabed, and what they want to control Syria in order to make this gas line profitable for Israel so that Israel can become the number one natural gas exporter in the world. The ultimate situation here will be that whoever is able to access this gas and sell it or export it stands to make incalculable profits for the next 200 years. I mean, they've estimated so far that the natural gas field under the Mediterranean Sea is worth, if I recall correctly, I think she said $700 billion.
Yeah, and that's just the preliminary conservative estimates. So, you know, have you noticed how every single time the US invades a country, it's because they want something? You know, it's like, invade Iraq. Why do you want to invade Iraq? Well, we can install 50 giant bases there and have a buffer zone between us and enable us to encircle Iran. Plus, we get to send Halliburton in and steal all their oil supplies and so on and so forth and knock them out of the market and prevent them from selling that oil in euros. You know, it's a multifaceted one. Why'd you go into Afghanistan? Well, there's no opium growing there, and we don't like that. So after we went in, after the first year of U.S. occupation, opium production went up 3,000% and growing. Yeah, and C-130 Hercules and so on and so forth that were contracted through the U.S. Forest Service have been noticed around these particular areas flying billions of dollars worth of high-quality heroin all of the time. Even spoke to a New Zealand soldier who was told by the Americans to guard this container this one time and not look inside it. And they're like, well, why aren't we allowed to look inside it? So being a Kiwi, decided that they'd have a little bit of curiosity and find out. And there were pallets of compressed and stacked down opium poppies ready for shipping. Wow. That's why the US is there. And sure. I mean, because look at it this way. If you want to fund black ops, hello, Syria. If you want to fund black ops, you best have a black budget. And the best way to have a black budget is with drugs.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Look at just Tuesday night, Vinny. We talked on our show when you were on it. The whole Kony 2012 Ugandan Africa fiasco of last year.
I thought Kony was an island.
It could have been, but he was also some ten-horned dictator over there in Uganda that was trying to fight the government over there, and he was being attacked by government armies and whatnot. But just ironically, China had, you know, they had made deals with Ugandan government on mineral rights over there, and evidently American interests didn't really like that too well. So, Todd, your video's off again. I'm not sure what happened, but anyways, you know, I think the American elite interest, they didn't really like China having legitimate deals over there, so they tried to manipulate the American people into having us go over there and kick China out.
Yes, that's right.
I do believe that there is an agenda behind everything, and it gets to the point where you realize that a suspicious mind is actually a healthy mind. If it's reported in any kind of mainstream officialdom, you know that something's up. You know, it's like, scientists discovered this. Oh, something's up. Did you know that scientists have discovered that people will believe anything as long as you claim that a scientist discovered it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Your video's out again, Todd.
Anytime there's an academic behind something, you know, if they say, oh, yeah, they, so-and-so PhD or so-and-so this, so-and-so scientist, particularly government scientists. I just saw a recent article that actually shows evidence that the reverse of global warming is actually happening, and that one of the polar ice caps had expanded by millions of miles just over the last year, by millions of square miles, and they showed a satellite picture of it, and they showed a satellite picture of the ice cap from 2012, and then they showed a satellite picture of the ice cap from this year, and it was much, much bigger, much bigger. And so, do you know how the scientists explained that when they were confronted with that information? They said, oh, well, we're on a quote-unquote global warming pause.
Right. About what, since 97?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
98, maybe.
Okay. Because this whole climate change debate, it's funny you should mention this, because I was just talking, I was just thinking this morning about a guy in New Zealand called Martin Bradbury. He's a left-wing commentator. And I went to this climate change march to accost these people and try and assess what they knew about global warming and climate change. And I asked this this man, Martin Bradbury, about the climate gate emails. You know, those ones that were, you know, emerged, and there was big fanfare about them, how they said that they're trying to hide the decline, and it appeared very corrupt and coercive, and they tried to, you know, demonize any scientist who ever came out with the truth about it, and, you know, all these emails leaked out. And he says to me, I believe the climate change climate gate emails were an absolute hoax. And I said, well, hold on a second, because the scientists whose emails they allegedly were admitted that they were theirs. And he goes, yeah, that's right, that's right. And I go, whoa, how could they be a hoax if they didn't deny that they were theirs? And he, well, this is, you know, just kind of like laughing to himself. He's like, there, that is climate change, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big lie by lying pieces of trash who have no interest in the truth, only an interest in their own ideology to control and dominate all human life in a communist, fascist kind of scumbaggery system. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and simulcasting at this particular moment. Around about canceledthecabal.com, I believe.
Well, it's also truthbroadcastnetwork.com and MSIRadio.com. Those are the two streams we are on. Canceledthecabal.com is just my personal website.
Right. Okay. Okay, so I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah. We were talking about Mars, actually, and what's interesting is that they can engineer a piece of technology that's capable of flying the several hundred million miles or whatever it is distance to Mars to pierce through the atmosphere, land safely, roll out no problems, take high quality, high def audio and video recordings and so on and so forth, and transmitting them back to Earth, but they apparently can't do it in color.
Well, that brings up an interesting story, Vinny. I heard an interview. I'm not sure who it was now, but he happened to mention in this interview in 1969, the feed that came from the Apollo 13 flight, I think it was the 13, the one that landed on the moon. He said the actual live feed that came from the spaceship up there orbiting the moon went to a little station in Australia first, and then it got piped into America, into Houston International, whatever NASA is called there. But I think that's where the live feed got manipulated first. Somebody had their hands on the live stream first, and then it got piped over into America. So that's one of the ways how they deceived us on in 1969.
Right, yeah, that allows them time to delay. I think you're talking about mission control in Houston.
Mission control in Houston there,
yeah. Yeah. Actually, an interesting note to that is my dad's sister and her husband, they both worked on the shuttle program for many years. My aunt was in charge of going inside the cockpit and setting all the, you know, making sure all the switches were set straight and everything was ready to go. My uncle, her husband, was in charge of the survival systems. And at one point I had asked her, you know, hey, have they ever seen anything strange up there or anything like that? You know, it was a little bit more detailed question than that. And she just basically chose to remain silent in so many words. So, yeah, I think that there is a lot going on that we don't know about. I actually went out to the launch site where the one Apollo that burned up on the ground. I actually went out to that launch site, and you talk about something eerie. I mean, something right out of a Hollywood movie set. You go out there, and you can still see to this day. On the cement pillars and stuff, you can see the black charred marks everywhere. And, you know, the wind's blowing and there's just, you know, kind of a deserty, scruffy environment as far as you can see, and really ghostly, really eerie. And you just imagine what happened to those people, you know, as they went through that out there. But there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about. There's a lot of stuff that, see, they have multiple radio channels. When they're up there in space, they have the public communication channel that we all get to listen to. And then they have private communication channels. And in some instances, there's actually been conversation that's heard. And then all of a sudden, they'll start talking about something that's classified or top secret. And the next thing you know, the conversation gets cut. And everybody, the public, is going, what happened? We can't hear what's going on. And that's because they switched to the private or the secured channel.
Houston, we're going dark on the moon here.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? What did you do? Flip a switch, bro? Yeah. Roger, Houston.
That's right. Listen, the moon's hollow. You stomp your foot on it and you hear this boom.
Or shoot it with a missile.
Hey, now, you didn't know it's made out of cheese, Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Much like the brains of much of the American and New Zealand public these days. Thank you, Aspartame. You're the Shiite Muslim.
That's right. Aspartame, eating your brain every day.
Now, I had a joke when it, what was it? Oh yeah, the amazing Aspartaman. He shoots formaldehyde out of his wrists at you.
Oh right.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know, Vinny, that aspartame is actually the fecal matter of E. coli bacteria, and they make this stuff in big vats, and then they put it in the food for you and your kids to eat, and then it goes in and eats your brain cells. I mean, you talk about the perfect soft kill weapon. I mean, they should just play every time you eat that product. They should just play that song in the background, killing you softly.
Yeah, killing me softly. With my aspartame.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I've got to actually, that gives me an idea. I'm going to write a song about that, you know, killing me softly, or killing me soft kill bioweapon. I get something.
Yeah. Like that, you know. Oh, I've come up with some good lyrics for stuff like that. Yeah, we should get together and share some of our lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, I do have like a little text file on my computer. So, you know how every now and again you get those moments of inspiration? You say something or you think something in your head and you go, man, that's actually a really good lyric or whatever. And you just quickly, you know, you keep repeating it to yourself over and over again so you don't forget it. So you've got enough time to get to the... And just enough time to get to the computer, because it's happened to me many times where you're just like, oh my God, that's a brilliant thought, or oh my God, that's a great lyric, or whatever. Yeah. I'm going to go write that down. And by the time it takes me to get from where I am to the computer to write it down, it's gone.
This right here, your cell phone can record, even just the basic, you know, flip phones and things like that can record if you need to record something real quick. Mm-hmm. And what I do sometimes is I carry around, I actually have one of those digital little audio / voice recorders, little handheld. And I've got one of those. It's a little Sony that you can record up to like, I think, 48 hours worth of audio on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, I don't think you come up with 48 hours of lyrics, but, you know, it's good to have that extra option if you needed to.
Well, in today's police state, I think it's good to have anything and everything.
Sure,
as much,
yeah.
Recording to. There's, you know, over in Russia, people are getting cameras for their cars because of the fraud. Many people are suing each other, getting in car wrecks and just suing each other, and people are buying the... dash cams left and right and
right.
Recording. And I think people here in America should be doing that just to keep the police on their honors.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They have a lot of times in these cases where something happens, conveniently, if the police are at fault and on some aspect or some level or another, conveniently the audio doesn't work or the video doesn't work. What I find to be a great tool is the cell phones. Like, I have a Samsung Galaxy and it has the camera in the front that faces you on the screen, and then it has a camera on the back. So you can actually film while seeing yourself and seeing what you're pointing the camera at. So that way, if there's something going on, you know, people can see what you're doing, so that you can confirm that you're not doing anything illegal or violent or anything like that, and they can see what's going on in front of you. So it's a great tool, and you could actually call it a weapon, if you will, against the New World Order or tyranny or what have you. But, yeah, the dash cams are a great idea, and if you can't, you know, get something like that, then at least have some kind of audio recorder with you.
Mm. You guys have heard of the Peaceful Streets Project?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those kids are hardcore, man. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of cops. I'm afraid of cops for the same reason that I'm afraid of gangs and afraid of judges. They're deceptive, right, and they have no respect for the law. That's basically it. Right. And these kids follow the cops round and actually film them while they're busting people and stuff like that to make sure that they're not breaking any laws while they're doing it. So, oh, you've got some big cojones, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's one man down in, I think it's either Houston or Austin, Texas, one or the other. Antonio Bueller or Anthony Bueller, I think. He's done a lot of videos, and he caught a couple of cops really harassing one woman that was trying to keep her friend. This pair of cops had pulled over a couple of women in a car. And what they were trying to do was get this one woman out of her car to take the breathalyzer test.
Can we bring that feed down just a little bit and let you finish your point, bro?
Oh! But he caught him in the act and filmed him.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back up.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to make some kind of a statement. You know, like you know how South Africa is commonly referred to as SA. You know,
it's like, who is this SA? And it's like, this is my SA. He's from SA. He lived in the USA, and he even worked for the TSA, and even contracted privately for the NSA. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Everyone's asleep.
All right.
Everyone.
Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And, I have to give hats off to whistleblowers and activists and people around the world, because look at it this way: for myself, and I'm sure for most other radio show hosts, we're not having our homes raided all the time. We're not having our families threatened. We're not having our bank accounts confiscated. We're not having our businesses stolen from us and so on and so forth. And what occurs to me is that those people suffer so enormously because they're exposing extraordinary quantities of scumbaggery. And we kind of get a free pass because we've got all these fans and listeners and so on and so forth. You know, people notice if something happens to us. But activists and whistleblowers, they're not shameless self-promoters. They're often very cryptic. They sit around and they do their very honest, noble work for the betterment of humanity. And unless it was for people like us, nobody would really hear about it. And that's why they get targeted so profusely to a large degree, in my opinion. And I just want to, you know... I don't know. I almost feel guilty that I'm not suffering as badly as they are. I feel guilty that I got it so good.
Yeah, well, you know, they do definitely go after whistleblowers. I mean, Obama has actually gone after more. He has gone after more whistleblowers than all of the previous presidents combined. I mean, this guy, you know, people. There's so many people out there that think he's so great, but all you have to do is just look at his actions, and if you look at the man's actions, it becomes very transparent as to what's going on. I mean, this guy goes after, you know, when you see a president going after people telling the truth, you know, we have, our government is so criminal now that they try to criminalize people for exposing their criminality. I mean, it's everything's upside down and backwards. You know, the criminals are prosecuting the truth tellers because the truth tellers are saying that they're the criminals. So you have criminals prosecuting. I mean, it's, you know, we should be doing the prosecuting. You know, we should have, you know, citizens or sheriffs walking into the White House and arresting this guy. I mean, he's, you know, look at Fast and Furious, Benghazi. Fast and Furious is a good one. Him, Obama, and the Attorney General, Eric Holder, caught red-handed shipping weapons into Mexico to the drug cartels so that they could then be traced back to the United States so that once the drug cartels had used them to murder people, they could demonize. They could use that to demonize the Second Amendment and say, "Oh, look, these drugs, these drugs and these guns came from the United States, and these guns kill people. So, look, at Second Amendment's bad. We have to take your guns." I mean, and what happened? No one was arrested. No one was even so much charged, so much as even charged with anything. So these guys are above the law. They create a system of rules and laws and, you know, statutes and ordinances and whatnot for we the slaves to follow, but they don't have to follow their very own laws. They kind of orbit outside of the very system that they've created for us. We live in the slave farms or the tax cattle farms that they call countries, and they kind of orbit outside of that and just can do whatever they want. They can create money out of thin air. They can put whatever they want down on a piece of paper, and whether it's illegal or not, whether it's immoral or not, whether it's unconstitutional or not, they can put it down on a piece of paper, call it a law, and boom, that's just the way it is, whether or not you or I or anyone else agree to it.
Yeah, but Todd, you got to think of it this way, though. Obama didn't do anything different than what George Bush did. George Bush had the same program. It was called Operation Gunrunner. So, in effect, the media and these so-called intelligence agencies here in America, they chose to out Obama and not Bush.
Well, right. I mean, right. Yeah, I wasn't really covering all of the presidents, but yeah, you could. I mean, Bush full of criminality. I think every president, probably you could probably almost say every president since the inception of the United States has probably committed some kind of crime or scumbaggery behind closed doors. But it's just using that for an example that we know for a fact that Obama was exposed, along with the attorney general doing this, by exposed by whistleblowers. We know for a fact that Bush Jr. Was guilty of, you know, countless war crimes and has arrest warrants throughout the world. So, yeah, these guys are – it's just a band of criminals. But unfortunately for them, they are just the puppets for the true powers that be. The true powers that be, the people that are really running things, we will never see their faces. We will never know their names. We will never know anything about them. And if we do know anything about them, it's going to be very, very minimal. But they use people like Obama and let's face it, Bush and all the other presidents. Let's face it, the United States White House, the office of the president, the Oval Office, is simply used as the president is a public figurehead. It's just someone for the public to focus their attention on and look at while the real stuff is going on where everyone's not looking. If they're just a figurehead, a minion, puppet, you know, of the powers that be. That's all the president is. They're the CEO of a
corporation.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I think the CEO of a corporation even has more control over his situation than the president does. The president is controlled by the central bankers and some of the other large corporations. A CEO,
in other words, he's accountable to his stockholders.
Right, exactly. He's accountable to his stockholders, and they are accountable to certain to laws and morals and values to some degree. Whereas the president, when he's commanded by the central banks or certain corporations or people connected with corporations like Cheney and Rumsfeld and whatnot, the president has to do whatever he's told. Right? These CEOs, you know, they have more control. They have a little bit more, decision-making power as far as what they do. But, yeah, essentially, I mean, basically the United States government, which to call it a government is really not even appropriate anymore. It's more like a corporate mafia.
The definition of government, I think, in the original Latin, govern meaning control, mente meaning mind. So government right. means mind control. So, yeah, they're doing precisely what they're supposed to.
Right, exactly. That was actually going to be my next comment, is that when you look at the word government, the last part of it comes from mente, which is mind, like you said. And so, a good question to ask people, you were talking earlier, Vinny, you mentioned about, you know, is it even worth it to talk to people that are still in this zombie state? And one of the things I think a very powerful question to ask these people is, do you understand that the to be governed, the very word government means, coming from mente, mind, means to govern your mind? So with that said, do you feel that in order to be free and have your freedom and liberty as you wish, do you feel that you need to have your mind governed in order to have that? And that gets them thinking.
Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, because they'll just go, oh, well, that's just BS, and they just won't believe you because they're so mind-controlled that they don't even look up definitions in a dictionary, you know? I mean, it's like you try to expose the war on terror as a BS psyop. You just say, what's the definition of terrorism, buddy? And they're like, bad people blowing up stuff. It's like, no, actually, it's a kind of system of government, bro. Communism, terrorism, fascism, they're systems of government. And what happens now?
Yeah, well,
what happens now? Oh, well, terrorist governments scare the living bejesus out of their people so that they can get them to do what they want.
Yeah, so, all the governments throughout history know that if you can lead a population anywhere through fear.
Yeah.
Voltaire said it best. If you can get people to believe absurdities, you can make them commit atrocities.
That's right.
Yes. I think there's going to come a time here pretty soon. We have to still keep hammering the message out there, but I think one day there's going to be a time where we just have to write some people off as
triage.
Lost causes. If they, I hear it said over and over and over again, in this day of information, how can anybody be ignorant of any facts out there? Sure.
Well, it's because people like us don't actually make the effort to go, hey, bro, actually, you're wrong, and here's such and such evidence and what have you that you're wrong, because they give up on these people before they've even started to try and convince them of the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of us used to be mind-controlled slaves. All of us. You know, nobody was born a truther, were they?
That's right.
You know? I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
And the way you deal with these people, I've found a good way is what I've called the information grenade approach. You take no responsibility. You don't try and wake this person up. You just chuck them an information grenade, you know, a little documentary or a little bit of information or whatever. If it blows up in their face, good. If it's a dud, who cares? I just threw in a grenade. It's not that difficult. It's just chucking one link at somebody, and then I'm moving on to the next person.
Go on to the next, yep.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know a lot of these people that you speak of, Vinny, that are just, you know, and like Steve said, the people are, you're just going to have to eventually write them off because they're so deep into cognitive dissonance and acquiescence that even when you mention these things to them, they just immediately say, oh, whatever, oh, that's, you know, anything that you say to them that is to the contrary of my government loves me, would never do anything to hurt me, and everything is wonderful, and being in eternal perpetual debt is great and stylish and cool, and don't tell me anything else. Anything to the contrary of that, they just don't want to hear it. They go, oh, conspiracy theory, oh, whatever. And their eyes, I kid you not, their eyes literally get glassed over like they have gone into this deep state of cognitive dissonance, and they're just like, don't tell me any, you know, it's like they've got this little subconscious voice. It's don't listen. Don't tell me anything I don't want to hear, you know? And so you just, it's like, what can you do? You know,
the kind of air of superiority, like I know nothing, therefore I'm superior to you because you're a conspiracy theorist.
Right. Exactly.
I know my government wouldn't do that to me. So you're just an idiot. That's all it is.
Yeah, government it wasn't responsible for the most amount of death in the 20th century. Well, oh wait, it was. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think in the last century, the governments across the world have killed. I forget it was like I think it was over 200, well over 200 million.
Well, people. The estimates are between 260 and 280 million. Yes.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of those were communist governments. And there's still socialists everywhere today. Have you noticed that? Isn't it interesting? And you tell them, bro, why are you a socialist? They killed more people in the 20th century, their own people who actually voted them into power, than any other factor, even more than all of the wars of the 20th century combined. They're like, oh, that's just not real socialism. Really? So they implemented it in like dozens of different countries, all of which enslaved or exterminated their people, and apparently they all got it wrong. Have you ever considered the fact that maybe you're the one who's got it wrong?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't think about these things. I mean, even if something as blatant as, you know, the fact that pharmaceutical drugs kill more people in 1 year than all of the deaths from illegal drugs combined, yet no one asks the question, what the heck's going on here? Do we have some kind of pharmaceutical mafia controlling our government and controlling the legislative body?
There you
Why,
go, Vinny.
Yes, we do.
There you go, Vinny.
What is that? Yeah, censored attack.
Medical system now the second leading cause of death in America.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, Vinny.
Nearly 800,000 people die in a year by doctors.
Yeah.
Not just doctors, nurses and other things. Being inside the medical field, I have seen some things that I can honestly tell you guys that registered nurses, okay, we're talking about not just nurses with 2-year degrees, we're talking about nurses that have four-year degrees, master's degrees, they are now readily admitting that, and some of them publicly admitting this, that the pharmaceuticals are given by the doctors to often kill people or soft kill them, that they know that these pharmaceuticals are poisons, but because the doctors are trained pharmaceutical salesmen in white coats, everyone believes what they say, and they are trained by the medical schools to connect the symptoms with a pharmaceutical. It's like connect the dots. Well, if they have this symptom, this set of symptoms, give them this pharmaceutical. If they have these symptoms, give them this pharmaceutical. And the doctors literally get, depending on what medical school you go to, they get anywhere from an entire 2 hours of education on nutritional information throughout the entirety of their medical school education, or less. Some of them don't even get 2 hours of nutritional education.
It's between no education and 3 weeks of education. In order to qualify as a nutritionist, it's a 3 or 4 year course.
Right, exactly. Yeah, these doctors know nothing. Either they know nothing or they know very little about nutrition, because the pharmaceutical companies have taken over much of the funding for the medical schools. Thereby, they can now dictate what the medical schools do, what they teach, how their medical programs operate, and they also have a tremendous power over the legislative body, given the fact that they make hundreds of billions of dollars per year, not just from pharmaceuticals, but from other things, medical equipment, et cetera, the cost of treatments. They make hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and they can manipulate or influence the legislative body. I mean, they pay lobbyists to really hit the legislative body really hard to influence them, and then they you know, there's always some type
you
of
you know this reminds me of this reminds me of Obama. I will get rid of the lobbyists from out of Washington, and he appoints more than ever before.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just thinking about doctors, you know, Hippocratic Oath from Hippocrates. Let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. What's the Hippocratic Oath again? Oh, first do no harm. Oh, okay. So maybe there was a spelling mistake in there. Maybe the doctors now take a Hippocratic Oath. First, make sure that you harm the patient. And secondly, make sure that you drain their frickin' bank accounts. And thirdly, make sure you lie to their family and say that it was the disease's fault and not yours for frickin' killing their loved ones.
That's
customers
right.
For life. It's just, customers
yeah,
for
it
life.
Goes, customers for life. Yeah, their motto is, if you're not sick, you're not a customer. They should just tell people up front, you know, our hypocrisy, as Doc Holliday said in Tombstone, it appeals as though your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Indeed. Now, unfortunately, radio does hold bounds, and we'll be coming to a break just shortly, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guests are Todd Foster and Stephen Roberts from CancelTheCabal.com, and you are listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. And my thoughts on this is, how can it be getting so bad, whereas the leading cause of death, and yet The media don't report on this, but they do report on every single car accident. We'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guests from CancelTheCabal.com are Robert... No, wait. Stephen Roberts and Todd Foster. I was about to say Robert Foster. And I was just like, oh, yeah.
They went Robert, I mean, Steve.
Robert. Okay. Now, we were talking about the medical mafia over the break. And it just occurs to me, you know, how exactly can they get away with it for so freaking long without a massive conspiracy being employed? You know, how can they do that? And this extends all the way to almost all mainstream anything, you know, mainstream anything.
That's
you
right.
know, mainstream oil, mainstream media, mainstream medicine, mainstream science, mainstream politics, mainstream anything that is mainstream. The reason why they call it mainstream is because mainly it's them that is a piss cloud streaming onto you at all freaking times with their propaganda, their violence, and their scumbaggery. And this has been perpetrated purposely throughout history to, in order to co-opt the entirety of officialdom, because humans are a pack animal, right? No illusions about this. We love being led to our frickin' doom, invariably, don't we?
Yeah, and we pay for it too.
Yeah, it seems like the majority love to be led to their doom like a bunch of sheep being pushed off a cliff.
And the funny thing about it is we're paying for it. We're just throwing our money at these mainstream media outlets, you know, with the cable and the satellite. Nobody has the regular TV anymore with you get up off your chair and change the three channels, but you can get everything right there at your couch or your easy chair right from a remote. You can get your propaganda right at your fingertips.
That's right. Absolutely. You can sit there and stare into the idiot box as your brain melts. You know, I'd like to do one of those commercials. You know, you remember that commercial you used to do with the, you know, this is your brain, this is your drink, your brain on drugs with the egg in the frying pan. Well, they
this
should
is
do
your
one
brain
with
on
this.
Television.
Exactly. They should do one with this is your brain, this is your brain on television. It just looks like a giant, you know.
Well, yeah. Look at it, Vinny. Look at their words. You mentioned, we've been talking about medicine. A doctor has a PC on the end of his or her name, and that means for practicing. I mean, what is it called?
Pretty crap.
No. I'm sorry. Not doctors, but lawyers are PC because they are
politically correct.
Practicing counsel. That's what lawyers are. Yeah. I know that doctor has something on the end, but I don't remember what it is. But they are also practicing medicine.
MD?
No, they're
I think you're trying to say that PC is pharmaceutically collaborated.
Is that what it is?
I thought that MDs were all on PCP.
But I also wanted to go in the actual origins of the word media. Media stems from a Latin medite, and the medites back in ancient times, they were the ones that conjured up the spirits, if you will, to scare the people or entertain them. And this is where the modern word of media comes from. Of course, the word Hollywood is also attributed with sorcery and magic, and they do the same kind of things.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, they conjure up the spirit. Well, we are conjuring up the spirits of truth, my friend.
Yeah. And have you ever gotten that thought that the religious people of the earth actually have had it right the whole time, that there really is an evil force attempting to assail and destroy and corrupt mankind, and that there are real, good, decent elements within the human race that are rising up to defeat it?
Sure, sure.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's definitely a dark element out there. I think I don't know if we could specifically identify what evil is, if we could, you know, pinpoint it. But I do believe there is evil out there, but there's a lot of perceptions as to, you know, what evil is.
Here's another thing. A lot of people don't believe that evil exists. Have you ever encountered some of these people? You say, oh, they're poisoning people with pharmaceutical drugs and lying to them and telling them that it's good and draining their bank account and their second leading cause of death. That's evil. And they go, oh, you're just religious. You know, evil doesn't really exist. It's just perception. It's just perception. It's like, no. It's not freaking perception. It's definition.
They can't admit evil, because if they did, they would be admitting that there is some type of good force out there.
Yeah, and that they're not on its side.
Well, right. I mean, there's different what I meant, just to clarify, what I meant by perceptions of evil is that everyone has their own, you know, definition or interpretation of as to what exactly evil is. You know, spiritual people will say, well, it's demons and it's this and it's that. And some other people say, oh, well, it's just mean people that just have a messed up mind. And, you know, there's a lot of different opinions on it. But it's hard to decipher exactly what evil is, you know, unless you're some kind of, scholar in theology or something. But.
I think it's morality. Like everything that's complicated can usually be deconstructed back to something very simple. Okay, so what's good? Good. Okay, let's throw out some words here. You know, like we use those words that that knights swear to. You know, honor, decency, truth. Okay, that would be easily defined as something good, right? Malice, cruelty, and hate. That would be something that would be quintessential evil, wouldn't they? So if we've got these quintessential facts that are right there in front of us, if it's not one, it's probably the other. Unfortunately, though, people have been convinced that everything is now a gray area. There's no clear white. There's no clear black. There is only eternal gray. And this is the reason why, like, you ever heard the quote, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing humanity he didn't exist.
He didn't exist, yes.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. Yeah.
The greatest trick the Rockefellers ever ever pulled is convincing the world that they're not a ruthless bunch of criminal gangster mafioso scum.
Sure. Or the Rothschilds, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, who are the families? I can't remember offhand, but there's
Wahlbergs,
a group of families that own Wahlberg, the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back like way, way back, and there's a bunch of people who have exposed the bloodlines of the Illuminati, and these people trace back their families. Now, I can't even trace back my lineage past my grandparents.
Right.
Okay, I don't know where I really, really come from. These people do. They know where their genetic heritage comes from thousands of years back. Tracing back to the pharaohs of Egypt and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Now, what if I told you guys that you were descended from Knights of the Round Table, or if you were like Sir Lancelot's descendant or something of that nature? Would that suddenly make you think to yourself, you know what, I can actually really be quite powerful and an incredible force for good and justice and truth and so on and so forth in this world, right? Because my ancestors did that, so can I. I think that's why people like me and everybody else has no idea what their lineage is, because if we did, we'd realize that this is part of a long-term struggle against scumbaggery.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
In direct relation to that, a quick note on your comment there. My background, actually, I happen to know through my grandparents that my ancestors in the not too terribly distant past were guards for the king and queen. And in order to do that, you had to have, there were certain requirements. You had to be, you know, at least like, you had to be at least like 6 foot one or something like that. And you had to have, you know, very good training in self-defense and different types of hand-to-hand combat and warfare. So, you know, these guys were really, you know, and not only just that, but you also had to be a very honorable character, and you had to show integrity and fortitude. So the only thing that bothers me about that is the fact that I know that the people that are considered royals today are just, you know, in cahoots with controlling the rest of the world.
Mm. What do you call two owls that are working together on a crime? In cahoots.
Da-da-ch.
Yeah. I do need some kind of a snare drum or some sort of mariachi band behind
me.
Yeah,
you need some kind of, right, maybe a banjo.
Yeah. My dad used to play the banjo, and my brother's got his banjo now, and he's trying to play it and what have you. I'm just terrible. I'm like all. What's the terminology? Being all fingers and thumbs, you know, in terms of my voice, in terms of lyrics and so on and so forth. You know, somebody could just start playing a tune, and I'll come out with a completed song off the top of my head, sort of thing. Like I've.
Right.
I've not met anybody else so far in my life that can kind of do that, aside from freestyle rappers. But they don't right. they don't really go anywhere with their songs. They don't have structured choruses and so on and so forth. So it's that unique talent that I have. And it turns out that my father was very much like that. He was a he sung songs and made stuff up off the top of his head. Great MC and so on and so forth. Mother was a poet and a nurse, and she's a bit kind of intuitive herself as well. Dad was a genius. He had the ability. He made like 400 different types of forklift tire. He designed by himself. Incredible engineering knowledge and so on and so forth.
Wow,
and it occurs to me that I was, despite the fact that my upbringing was anything but inspiring and loving and caring. You know, I mean, I had a really hard life. Dad was very violent and so on and so forth. Divorce happened, and I didn't really see the guy for about 17 years, and then he died and sort of thing, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately. You know, it's like I never really had a relationship with my father. But it occurs to me that what I've done in order to compensate for that is I've collected other father figures. Like, for example, the editor of this magazine, Uncensored, here, my friend Jonathan Eisen. I consider him one of my sort of surrogate father figures, and he's been a great mentor to me. My former producer Mitch Santel, who now produces the Hagman and Hagman Report on Blog Talk Radio, he was a really good father figure to me. And I think that this is what's really the crux of the issue here, is that you get endowed with these certain abilities by your parents, but it's unless they're actually actively trying to nurture you and bring you up to harness those abilities and skills, you got nothing. And I didn't have any of these abilities until I started realizing what it was that I had to do in order to control myself, in order to make myself a better man. And I needed other men to show me that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of what we're missing. By the way, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your father like that. And it's I think that a lot of young men, you know, and when I say young, I mean, you know, anybody, you know, that's under, you know, 50, 55 years of age. I think that a lot of us have lost, we've lost that family structure to where a lot of us no longer have that male, role model to look up to. You know, like when I was young, before I lost my grandfathers, I looked up to them a lot and stuff. And so I think that a lot of people are lose the, you know, we've lost kind of that role model, you know, someone to follow, someone to learn from. So we kind of have to, you know, you're right, Vinny, a lot of us have to kind of just teach ourselves, and we learn by trial and error, so to speak. So, yeah, that's a good point.
If I may be so bold, you have two choices in life. You can accept your conditions and make what you can from them, or accept your conditions and have them make out of you what they want. You know, and this is part of the conditioning. This is part of the mind control, I think. Once you recognize that, oh my God, I'm actually really powerful. Oh my God, I've actually got free choice. I can actually choose which side of the road I cross. I can actually choose who I talk to, who I associate with, what I spend every minute of my day doing. And it's only once you decide, like you actually make a decision, you actually make a choice, and you try and do something and you're successful at it. Until that happens, you have no idea how powerful you are. You think that you're weak. You think that you're easily beaten, and you get browbeaten by everybody telling you that you're not this, or you're not that, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. And my father had a saying: "There's only one way. It's the Eastwood way." You know, I'm just thinking about this. You know, it's like, oh my God, we've all got our own Eastwood way, don't we?
That's the thing, Vinny. I was very young. Well,
you know what's really a real shame here? Every single time Stephen starts talking, we have to go to a break, and he forgets what he was talking about, and we don't revisit it. So, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. And Stephen's going to tell us about when he was a youth. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Bonkers.
Welcome back. I wake up every day is a day. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment. You know, 2 hours is almost gone, guys. Has that been fast enough for you? It is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, after all. Speaking of which, when Stephen was a youth in Kingston.
When I was a youth, I didn't lose my father, so to speak. My parents divorced at the age of 8, and I was quite lucky because within a year, my mother remarried, and she married a religious man, and I could have gone on the wrong path easily. I could have gone down the wrong path. That was a little neighborhood gang, if you want to say, that tried to get me to...
By chance, was it a gang of youths?
A gang of youths, yes. and there was about 5 of them. They always tried to get me into trouble, always tried to get me to go steal stuff with them or do their drugs of choice, pot, other things. And I always had the choice, and I took it, to not do those types of things. I very could have easily not gotten my butt whooped by this little gang 3 times a week whenever they caught me and saw me and said, hey, let's go do these things, and we won't beat you up 3 times a week, you know. But I chose to take a butt whooping over doing the things that they did. And right now, three of those boys never made it to the age of 25. And one of the two has been in and out of jail most of his adult life. He's probably been in jail longer than he's been out of jail, since the age of 17, 18. So, you know, I think I have made choices, and people make choices, and a lot of things can go bad because of wrong choices or a lot of things can go bad, even though you don't think you might have made a wrong choice. But there is free will out there. I really don't. I can debate. You know, I will debate anybody on free choice and good and evil, because there are those things.
Yeah, that's true.
I found out, I came to the realization a number of years ago that you can only say something's your fate after the fact. Have you noticed that? Sure. Oh, well, I did this or I did that. Oh, it must have been fate. And you can't say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. It is my fate to have these things happen. Because, incidentally, the only people who I've ever seen do that kind of thing are like on American Idol or X Factor, and they're always the ones that wind up getting rejected and laughed at by the people watching.
Hey, Vinny, you remember that movie with Joe Pesci where he played the attorney and he gets up in front of the judge and he says, Your Honor, the two Utes. And the judge says, what is a Ute?
Yeah. Well, it's a light truck, Your Honor.
That's a sport utility vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, and if you managed to smash them up on the freeway or something, you'd be completely uteless.
Right, exactly. Completely uteless.
Completely uteless.
But yeah, there is an element of good and evil in the world, and you know, that's what we try to do, Vinny, at MSI Radio and Truth Broadcast Network. We try to, you know, bring the world solutions. You know, I know MSIRadio.com, TruthBroadcastNetwork.com. You know, we, you know, and we at Cancel the Cabal on MSI Radio. We try to bring people solutions, and every show on MSI Radio, we try to connect the world with solutions on a daily basis. And I think that's why. MSI Radio and Truth Broadcast Network have gained a lot of viewers. You know, they're rising very quickly in the Alexa ratings or Alexa information, because I think it's because people have a thirst for truth, especially because of everything going on in the world today. People have a thirst for truth that is so powerful that it cannot be quenched by the mainstream media. It cannot be quenched by mainstream radio.
I came up with a kind of couplet there, is that people have a hunger for the truth, and you can't satisfy such a hunger for the truth with a soundbite.
Right.
And this is what the mainstream media essentially does do all the time, and it frustrates me because I see so many of these people that I've interviewed on this radio broadcast being interviewed by mainstream media, and they keep getting cut off all the time, interrupted. The people that they are being interviewed by are idiots, and the people that they are debating are propagandists, and so on and so forth. Fairness is all I'm asking for.
Right.
Don't you think that we need a fair system of media reporting so that people can actually listen and learn something for a change, rather than simply be diverted and have 99% of the information censored out and have all the real truth, all of the really juicy nuggets of information that will actually really change your perception of reality, that all gets taken out, and it should not be.
Yeah, people literally do not have the ability to think for themselves anymore. I mean, I saw on InfoWars, I saw one of the new reporters there, a girl by the name of Leanne McAdoo. She went out on the streets and she was interviewing people, you know, and she'd hold up a microphone to their face and say, hey, what do you think about the NSA spying on people through their TVs and through their cell phones, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the common responses was, well, I want to live in a safe country. Well, I want to be safe. Well, I want to, you know, well, and then she'd say, well, do you realize that this is the same type of things that incrementally led up to Nazi Germany? Oh, well, I want to be safe. I want to live in a safe country. Oh, so you're willing to put up with things that are unconstitutional, and that not only are unconstitutional, but assist to strip you of your rights, your freedom and liberty, so that you can be safe. And so, yeah, I want to be safe. That's what their comments were. I want to be safe.
And what
safe,
do you got to hide, too, Todd? I don't have nothing to hide.
So, yeah, that's
I'm okay with.
Right. Yeah, that's another one of the deceptions.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was just thinking about this last night before I went to sleep. You know how when you're not a psychopath, when your head hits the pillow, it takes like an hour to get to sleep because you're thinking about so many freaking things that piss you off?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
that exact response. Oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't need my privacy or whatever.
Yeah.
Why have you got curtains? Well, yes, I do. Do you live in a transparent glass house?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Why do you think that is, mother fracker?
Yeah.
I say that. You could say to him, "Holy Shiite! Do you live in a glass fish bowl?
Holy Shiite Muslim! Yeah,
that's right.
Do you go out in the backyard and sunbathe, and maybe lay on your back and take your top off, and I mean, put a little napkins in there or something, and do some sunning? Do you have a six foot fence?"
Do you have a megaphone system plugged into your house or something like that? So whenever you have a private conversation with your family, it's broadcasted to all the people on the street because you hate your privacy so much? No,
sure.
You don't.
Yeah. Put in one of those megaphone systems in your bathroom and see how much your neighbors like you.
Yeah.
Flop, 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 flop.
Bloop, bloop.
What was that?
It's like, oh no, that's just the neighbor, bro. I'll get him back. You know, I'm going to install a bigger megaphone system later on. You know, I'm going to eat myself some beans and some mother fracking cabbage. I'm going to fart that piece of Shiite Muslim out till next Wednesday. All right, it's going to be freaking awesome. Because I hate privacy. I hate having time to myself. I hate people not knowing every single little thing that I do while I've got my pants down.
Well, yeah, that would be particularly interesting at night, right? So, you have guests over to your house and, you know, all of a sudden your guests are like, "Hey, is that thunder? Do you hear thunder? No, that's my neighbor."
Put cameras in the bedroom. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Or just live in a glass fishbowl. You know, from now on, when people say I have nothing to hide, I'm going to say, "Look, okay, then I want you to move out of your house and just live in a giant glass fishbowl so that everything you do can be viewed by everyone in the world, including the NSA satellites up in the sky and all your neighbors."
I mean, have you ever heard of that program called Big Brother, where they actually get a whole bunch of people into a house where cameras watch everything that they do?
Yep.
Now,
dozens and dozens of cameras, yeah.
Anyways, seeing you naked, watching you do your business, and so on and so forth. They censor stuff out of that and what have you, of course, because nobody wants to see that, apparently. But it's made by this company called Endemol. And do you know what the symbol of the company Endemol is?
What?
Big eye, maybe?
A great eye.
Yeah.
Don't you think, ladies and gentlemen?
The all-seeing eye, yeah.
That they're trying to tell you something. Endemol also, incidentally, makes a whole lot of soap operas like the Australian series Home and Away. They're not only trying to distract you from the things that are real, but they're also trying to watch you and do everything.
Predict your program.
Yeah.
Predict your program. Let's all be like Big Brother and get cameras in our house. Come on, everybody.
And these, my friends, are weapons of mass distraction.
Yeah, it'll be like the frickin' Truman Show, everybody. Now, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And we're coming to the end of the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank you very much for listening. I'll be going on to Christy McMahon's show next. I forget the link what it is, but you can look me up on Facebook, Vinny Eastwood, that's Vinny with a Y, and Stephen Roberts, Todd Foster, CancelTheCabal.com. That's CancelTheCabal.com. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen, and we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.